All right.
Hello and welcome to Cause and Effect. It's a homebrew Dungeons and Dragons campaign where everything is the player's fault, and yet still, somehow, we have a higher approval rating than the Borderlands movie.
Oh no.
Or at least according to the Rotten Tomatoes score. My name is Crash. I'll be your DM for the evening. Tonight I'm joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, and Io. What happened last time?
Questioning. There was an interrogation. And there then we went and looked at things.
Yes.
Yep. And then we went down and...
No, not yet.
There was wet. Oh, that's right.
There was the anticipation of a tabaxi having to swim.
Yes. That's basically, you know, horrible.
True.
We did go down and check out one of the locations.
You did check out the Aboleth.
Mm-hmm.
However, you didn't get a lot of information from it because it was a desiccated corpse.
Mm-hmm.
You also did have a conversation with Tim about power and sponges and deities and shark gods. And we ended the session with everyone who needed a cap of water breathing, getting their cap of water breathing on and heading to a rickety homemade rope-powered elevator.
Oh,
right. Descend into the little bay area that was created when a kraken was woken up by multiple explosive devices, and that's when things started to shake. And that's when we ended it for the night.
Yes, with us going, oh crap, the dragon turtle's around, isn't it?
That was a thought.
Or the turtle
that occurred.
The turtle dragon. Yeah.
Also, yeah. Jen is now joining us. Hello, Jen.
Hi.
Yay. Sorry.
I forgot there was a game today, so I'm here.
And we are very glad to have you.
That's nice to hear.
I am sure that nothing would have gone horribly wrong in your absence.
Okay.
Probably.
I'm concerned by the tone of voice.
Don't know what you're insinuating.
That you're a GM?
I'm sure all of this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, mm-hmm. We are just starting off. Jen, the only thing you missed was part of the recap.
Okay.
But, yeah, you are all at the top of this cliff face. There's a rickety elevator to go down, or you can take a more expedient route of 32 feet per second, if you so choose. Or you can decide, everything shaking, I'm not jumping into the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to try. Are we using Foundry?
We are using Foundry, yes.
Okay, let me see if I can...
At least roll the dice.
At least roll the dice, yeah. Okay. Let's see.
I am going to move Tim over here, because Tim is currently not appearing in this film.
All right. Oh, wait. I think it's this one. Yeah. Okay. I found it.
Yay.
Okay. I have gotten into Foundry.
Yay. Mm-hmm. And I am select everyone and say toggle combat state. Because technically there's no fighting going on, but I do want to make sure I don't leave people out.
Okay. That's good. I think I did this wrong, or Foundry's being slow. One or the other.
Foundry's being slow because I do see that you are connecting.
Okay. Now it's telling me 502 bad gateway, so I did something wrong.
No. Usually that is something going wrong on the server side.
Oh, okay.
So I would try reloading the page.
Okay. Try it again. Okay, I see an anvil now, but that's it.
Yep. We're going to leave that anvil right there.
Sure. Why not?
While you are staring at an anvil waiting for things to happen, I'm going to ask everyone else to click a little button to roll for initiative.
I did.
Yes, you did. You got a 25.
Uh-huh. I can't.
Yeah, I don't have a button.
Go to
combat encounters.
Now I have a button.
Okay. I must have done something wrong.
I see you.
Yeah. Huh. Jen, if you go... Can you see Foundry? Is it loaded?
It is loaded.
Okay.
There's an anvil to the side. Everything else is black.
It's not yet loaded.
It's not fully loaded.
Okay.
You're just going to wait a little bit longer. If you're okay with it, I can press the button to have your initiative get rolled.
Okay. Which character are we playing today?
You are playing
Merrick.
Merrick. Okay, got it.
And Ellie. Ellie, did you add Sam Reich to the character sheet?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Sam Reich is currently in the Orklands with the other half of the party. I have some concerns.
Oh, no.
He's been there the whole time.
Oh, it just popped up.
Yay!
Yes. Okay, so let's get the character here.
The character is called the real Sam Reich. The only problem is she currently has 0 hit points out of 0 hit points.
Oops.
You cannot kill that which was never actually alive. What was that, Ellie?
He's not a player.
Technically, Sam Reich is the GM, or a GM.
Ah.
Possibly the GM. After all, the game keeps changing.
Mm, yeah.
That's a reference. Anyway, so with... we're all here. Everyone has rolled for initiative, so I can go down the order here. I'm going to click begin combat so I can keep track. With 25, Hobby, what are you currently doing?
Sadly, I think what Hobby is currently doing is finding something that she can sink her claws into and clutching that while desperately scanning the waves to determine where the danger is coming from.
Okay. So,
I don't think she's being very useful.
Up against a cliff, like right here, this line that I drew on the map, we're going to say that's the cliff.
Uh-huh.
We're going to say there is an opening that sort of comes in like this. So those are the cave wall sides there. And we have a rickety elevator right here. That's roughly 15 by 15 feet.
In that case, if there's not much to grab onto, Hobby has probably dropped down to all fours and is clinging to the ground itself, digging in her claws, which are supernaturally enhanced.
Someone comes over and tries to pick Hobby up, and Hobby refuses to move.
Yeah, pretty much, or brings a lot of stuff with her. I mean,
it's like trying to pick up a cat that is currently on carpet and doesn't want to go.
Yeah. Very much. So, actually, those are in inventory, aren't they? Yes, the Eldritch Claw tattoo is, probably being used to glom onto things, sort of.
Okay.
She is clinging with magical claws. So, and scanning the area, trying to figure out where the danger is, and also her fur is puffed up so that it's, like, Hobby is kind of twice her size in the places she's not wearing clothes. That tail. Oh my god. The tail.
So, yes, the tail is now bushy. You are Bart Squirrel. Most of your body has clothing, so that's normal. But your head, some would say that Hobby's head grew 3 sizes that day. I'm going to make some rolls while I ask Merrick, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there. It's still going. I didn't touch anything.
I was making some rolls as well.
Okay. I just saw them. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Okay.
The game master.
Yeah. Let's see.
When in doubt, blame the GM. Except in this game, because it's the player's fault. As stated previously. And
of course. Yes. Okay. So Merrick is going to sort of look into this elevator and see how sturdy he thinks it might be.
The elevator is, imagine if you will, it is a flat wooden platform, almost like a shipping pallet, only it's much larger than a shipping pallet because it's 15 by 15.
Okay.
And it is steadied by having a rope come from each of its 4 corners up to a central point that's sort of maybe 10 feet above the wooden floor, that is then attached to a single rope that goes to a pulley mechanism.
Okay.
You have seen more rickety contraptions in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can count them on one hand.
Okay. yeah, so he's going to like kind of like look over at all his companions and how much weight they might be holding and decide if we need to do this in groups of two or three. Mention that to everybody.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask for a roll in that regard because that probably would be considered investigation.
Okay.
So on your character sheet, look for the word investigation. Click on that. Pick normal.
Okay, click normal. 18.
With their bonus, that's a 21. You think, based on the diameter of the rope, it's not an issue of whether or not the elevator can hold everyone. It's how much will it sway? And oddly enough, the more weight on the elevator, the less it's likely to rock back and forth because a breeze is not going to push it nearly as much. With the understanding.
That said, Tex has already decided she's going down alone.
Okay.
There is also the possibility that there'll be one or two characters that decide they're going to be silly or serious, depending on the situation, and make the elevator rock back and forth for various reasons, as we have seen in a variety of movies where somebody's on a rope. So that would make it swing more. But
oh my.
I don't think that's this group.
Nah.
The people who won't.
No, the thing that's making it sway is.
The people who'd be more likely to do that are over in the Orc lands right now.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay. Yeah. What's this?
And Isley has just cast Guidance.
Nice. On Tex, who is apparently going down alone.
I imagine Tex is going to take the quick way, because that's the only way to be certain that Tex is going down alone. Okay. So that was.
Well, Tex can just step onto the thing and hold out her hand and go, no, if anyone else tries to follow her.
Right. At this point. Yeah. I'm not going to require a roll for it, but people hear a voice from down below. How far down below? You've got to look over the edge to see. But there's someone going, help!
All right. Merrick's going in.
You're going
to do I have to roll for that, or do I just put him?
I'm okay, because technically, I hadn't asked if you were done with your turn, and all you did was make a single roll to see if, to judge how the elevator would hold, but I'm okay with using your movement now. So do you jump all over the cliff or do you get on the elevator?
Oh, that's a good question. How far down is the cliff?
Oh, it's not that far. I would say about 20 feet. I've jumped that.
Okay. Okay. So if he thinks that there's a person outside stuck on a cliff or something, he's probably going to try to scale down it.
Oh, you're going to try to climb down the cliff.
Well, it depends on where he thinks that sound is coming from, and I don't know as a player, so I'm guessing.
I will say your character can go up to the edge of the cliff and look over the side.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, we'll do that. I don't know where to move him to, but
you see four people right where the cliff side meets the water. There's no ledge to stand on down there. The cliff goes straight in. Well, as straight as the cliffside goes anywhere. They all appear to be elves with blue skin, so most likely sea elves. I'm going to
Is it the submarine optimals?
It is not the submarine optimals. These do not appear to be people who are skilled in combat.
Okay.
They would look like commoners if commoners emaciated.
Nothing anymore after the third edition.
If commoners were a thing anymore after third edition, she says.
Well, they look like people who've been through a lot and maybe have only just barely survived.
Okay.
You would have a hard time believing that they were able to get where they are now if it weren't for the fact they are sea elves and therefore able to breathe water, because they would have had to swim here. They didn't take the elevator down.
So, Yeah, okay, so Merrick's going to relay what he heard and is probably going to look over and do we have any rope that's not attached to the elevator?
The only way up or down appears to be elevator or gravity. There does not appear to be additional ropes you could throw.
Okay, so if the elevator goes all the way down to where they're at...
I have rope.
You have rope.
I used to have rope. I don't know what. Oh, yes, there it is.
I wonder if Merrick has rope. Let's see.
Inventory. 50 feet of rope.
Yeah, and he's got 50 feet of rope. Yeah. Yeah. This'll do.
Okay.
It'll do well. So he's going to like tie it off on something sturdy up here.
I will tell you that tying it off is going to probably be a full action.
I didn't hear that. Sorry. Say again.
Tying it off is going to be a full action.
Yes.
Okay.
You can definitely that. Mm-hmm. I think technically rules is written. It should take an action to get it out of your pack, but I'm not going to worry about that. It's going to take a full action to tie it off on something. There are plenty of things to tie it off on because let's just say this isn't the first iteration of an elevator in this spot.
Okay.
So you have plenty of locations that they didn't remove all the hardware from. The failings weren't where the elevator was mounted. The failings were the elevator itself, probably. That's a conversation you can have when things aren't shaking and there aren't four people at the bottom of the cliff. So that is your action. You are tying that rope off. Next up is Isily, who has cast guidance. But is there anything else you want to do? Isily?
Eo, that's you.
Nope, we cannot hear you.
Uh-oh.
Quick pause for
technical difficulties.
Your ring lit up briefly there, Eo, but
I really do like the technical difficulties. They're a really good comedy.
There you are.
Anyway.
Unplugging my headphones and plugging them back in helped. Yes, sorry for casting guidance. I didn't realize that.
I'm going to say
we were.
Well, at this point, the main reason I was doing combat order was to make sure I don't forget anyone. So I'm okay with the casting of guidance. Is there anything you want to do for a turn right now? I consider you to still have the full action economy ready to go.
Oh, okay. Let me check something. Okay, they don't have to stay within 30 feet. It just only works while they are within 30 feet of each other, which is a useful and important difference. I am going to use Emboldening Bond on the party.
Oh, nice.
All right. Now, I know what Emboldening Bond is, but just in case there's someone who doesn't know, I'm going to read this off so that I also know. I knew what it was the whole time. You can forge an empowering bond among people who are at peace with one another. As an action, and then the whole thing moves because protective bond.
I'm sorry.
As an action, you choose a number of willing creatures within 30 feet of you. This can include yourself, equal to your proficiency bonus. You create a magical bond among them for 10 minutes or until you use this feature again. While any bonded creature is within 30 feet of another, the creature can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to an attack roll, an ability check, or a saving throw. Congratulations.
And there are four members of the party who are actual PCs, and therefore all four of them are included.
So congratulations, you all have cleric inspiration.
Nice.
And at sixth level, since I am over a sixth level cleric, the bond you forge between people helps them protect each other. When a creature affected by your emboldening bond feature is about to take damage, a second bonded creature within 30 feet of the first can use its reaction to teleport to an unoccupied space within 5 feet of the first creature. The second creature then takes all the damage instead.
Oh my gosh. It's the shield.
Yes.
Yep, it's the shield.
As has been remarked, I think a few times.
A few times just now, but also previously. Mm. And some might say, okay, well, cleric inspiration isn't as good as bardic inspiration. It's only a d4 at this level, but it renews every turn. You can roll a d4 every turn.
Nice.
And it's a feature, not a spell. So it doesn't even
require concentration.
Yes. So with all of that said, is there anything else that Isily is doing?
Nope.
Okay. I am making the CLs visible on the encounter tracker just so I don't forget to have them do things.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is another one of the
scouts. I see how it is.
Yes. Yes, you see elves. You're absolutely right. Next up is another one of the sea elves. They can pretty much splash around and flounder because they're okay at swimming, usually, but not so good at climbing salt-encrusted cliffs. That is not in their wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Or most people's wheelhouses. And next up is going to be Tex.
You said it's a 20-foot cliff?
Yes. With water.
Is there ground?
Water.
Oh, there's just water at the bottom.
Yes. Emil has told you the water is right at the edge, maybe 25 feet deep, but there is a cave system below that. But if you jump right off, you're not going to hit the caves. You have to go to the caves after you jump off.
Is the rope actually tied to me?
Merrick tied the rope to something up top, not necessarily you. My assumption was so that the rope could be tossed down and people could climb up or down on the rope. I am going to add additional information to this map right now. I'm going to add a little bit more. This part is not to scale, okay? This area comes out like this. It's a big circular crater-like thing. Okay. There is a gap over in this spot directly in front of you. It's a maybe, I would say, about 80 feet away. I know this is not 80 feet away on the map. Probably not 80 feet away. No. That's why it's not the scale. Because I measured after the fact. Yes, it's only 65. I'm sorry. I'm just not good enough. but in any case, there is a gap there. Not big enough for a Kraken to go through. Your understanding is that when the Kraken broke three in this spot, the Kraken jumped over the edge on the other side, a la Free Willy. Only if there was a small child there with their hand up while the Kraken jumped out, the Kraken would have grabbed the child along the way. Because, you know,
eating it.
Breakfast. Yeah. It had been sleeping for eons. It might as well get a snack when it wakes up.
Hold its way through with its tentacles. Yeah.
But that gap does allow water in the tides to come in and out, and it's probably how the sea elves got into the spot without climbing anything. So, Tex, what do you do?
Yes. I start climbing down.
Okay. I will say that because there's water at the bottom, you're not as concerned about, you know, taking impact damage. So you are very easily able to grab the rope and slide down the 20 feet.
Okay.
If you want to go all the way to the bottom, you can. If you want to stop at any point, you can.
I want to stop at the level of the sea elves.
Okay. I am going to move you. Actually, no, you can move yourself. There are no walls.
No, I can't. I have the measure tool in.
Welcome to the Fighting with Foundry portion of the evening. And it wasn't me this time.
All right. Grab on.
Okay. And they will probably work to do that on their turns. Emil is going to move over here. And I'm going to say that's where the machinery is to operate the elevator. He's going to kick a lever that frees the mechanism so that it can be lowered. And actually, I'm going to say that when he does that, the whole elevator starts to slide down. Without people on it.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen.
Oh.
Right now, there are four people at the bottom who really don't want to be there. The elevator can lift up those who are unable to climb.
Okay. In fairness, so can Tex.
This is true. Although
they'll have to hang on.
Emil did the math and counted two arms for Tex and four CLs.
Plus, Tex is going to have to use at least one arm to climb back.
Not with that attitude.
Does she have teeth to hold the rope in her teeth?
She has a faceplate. But imagine, if you will, Tex grabbing onto the rope with her chin and neck to hold it in place and then using her feet to push up.
That would be a heck of an athletics check.
It'd be incredibly funny to watch Tex do that with a sea elf under each arm.
A sea elf under
each arm. And one holding onto her back.
Mm-hmm. And a fourth one draped over his shoulder.
Probably, yeah. Although that gets into the, yeah.
But however funny that is, I'm going to say that Emil, when doing the math, decided this was probably not going to be what happened. So therefore, who would like an elevator splash?
Oh my gosh.
As an added bonus, this might mean that Hobby doesn't have to jump in the water. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Hobby is hopeful.
Hobby was like, oh, I guess I'll take the elevator down. Oh, the elevator is gone. I suppose I can't take the elevator down. Woe is me. I was going to get on the elevator, then get off again, then get on it, then get off again, then get on it, then get off again, not quite knowing if I want to be in or out.
I'm imagining this, you know, sort of the back of her hand to her forehead, the other one, you know, spread out, just sort of half swooning while dancing back and forth backwards in the doorway, you know, like a musical.
Yeah.
Does it happen? Probably not. Is it an outtake? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Will it make it into the out of context quotes? Only time will tell.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So next up is this sea elf right here. They are going to swim over and grab onto the... If a rope is being offered by Tex, she's grabbing the rope. If not, she's grabbing onto Tex.
Grabbing onto Tex was the plan.
Okay. Congratulations. You are now heavy by one emaciated sea elf.
So about 2 pounds.
Something like that. Give or take. Give or take up to 100 pounds. Next up is going to be this.
Hey, the regular ones can walk on snow without breaking it.
This sea elf is going to swim over to the elevator and grab onto one of those ropes. Next up, there is another bump and bits of cliff at the far side of the crater crumble down a little bit because that hole on the other end just got wider.
Something's trying to claw its way in. Oh, goody.
And one of the elves says, it got through. And lo and behold, some distance from the cliff on the far side, a large fin surfaces. And over there, just out of range, but within earshot, a lone cellist appears. And
playing air on a G string. It's not really sure why. But not really clear why.
All right, I'm going to say the shark gets to here by the end of their turn. This would be a much different
giant
encounter.
Shark.
This would be a much different encounter if I had not rolled what I rolled for their initiative.
I love the 4. Is the shark approximately to scale on, how far away it is?
I will say that while the map, the hastily drawn crater map, is not to scale, the shark's position at this point is to scale with all of the players that are in the water.
Or on the cliff?
Well, on the cliff, you've got 20 feet of height on it.
Okay, so add another 20 to...
Don't forget, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. You need to do some triangulation. This is math the game.
Oh, no.
But we're not playing my GURPS game.
Roll for geometry at disadvantage.
Is it within 60 feet?
At this point, I'm going to say, let's see, 10, 20, 30. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
And on that note, it's Hobby's turn.
Hobby is going to pull out one of her little symbols that she has kept for some time. That is her holy symbol, and she is going to use her bonus action first for Vow of Enmity. You're going down, fish. Let me just click this one. I'll click this. And then she is going to do the abjure enemy half of it, which is fear me. It has to roll wisdom saving throw, unless it's immune to being frightened.
It's very wise. It's a shark.
I thought they were smooth, not wise.
Those aren't polar opposites. It can be both of those on the Venn diagram. It is a smooth, wise shark.
Are you sure?
Well, it rolled a 12.
It just says make a wisdom saving throw. Does that make it saving throw?
What's your spell save DC?
Oh, 15?
It does not make it save.
Yeah, I assume that's my correct spell DC. You'll have to... I have no idea which one it thinks I am currently primaried, but that might take time, so let's use this one. Fish, fear me!
I'm sorry.
It, failed just, save, the creature is fright... Hmm?
Just the sentence, fish, fear me, has me expecting your cap of water breathing to be a trucker cap.
Well, it is frightened for 1 minute or until it takes any damage. While frightened, its speed is zero and it can't benefit from any bonus to its speed.
You just stopped the shark in its tracks, which is weird because it's swimming. It's not leaving tracks, so it can't be stopped.
I suppose if you need to, there's momentum or there's maybe it will turn away. Who knows?
I was going to argue that yes, there is momentum. It doesn't have a brake screeching sound as it rears up out of the water and comes to a halt, like in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
It doesn't rear up out of the water thrashing desperately to stay away from me.
I'm going to assume Ellie is the one putting a Venn diagram on the map of smooth, wise, and doesn't leave tracks. And in the middle, where all three of these meet, it's a shark. Am I correct?
Yes.
Well, I have some horrible news for you, young lady. You already have inspiration, so you're not getting anything for that.
Yeah, that's how it usually works.
All right.
That is my action and my bonus action. I cannot do anything else.
You could jump in the water. You could use your movement. You could do a swan dive.
Nope.
Fine.
Cannot do.
Fine. We'll move on to Merrick.
Okay.
Our other character who got over a 20 on initiative.
Yeah.
All right. So you have tied off the rope that is currently being used by Tex.
Yes.
But that was last turn. Now what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. So we know the elevator is like down to the level where the sea elves are right now, yes?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes. The elevator is down.
Okay.
If you want it back up, you're going to have to press a button and then wait while elevator music plays. That guy, the cellist, is the one going to be playing it, by the way.
Yeah.
He has quite a repertoire.
He'll just suddenly appear in the elevator and...
You know, oh, no, he's already there already because he was playing the Jaws theme earlier.
Oh, well, there we go. Okay, I think Merrick's going to move over to the elevator and assist whatever elves might need help getting out of it because it sounds like they were in a bad place for a while.
Okay, you know? Well, they're going to have to ride
extra strength.
They're all going to have to get in the elevator and ride it up 20 feet. So that's not going to happen yet. But you can definitely
but he can pull them out, you know.
You can definitely help Emil when we get to that point with operating the hand crank to raise the elevator.
Okay.
So for now, he's the best character to do that jumped over the side already.
Yes.
So
Merrick is probably second best as a barbarian.
Mm-hmm. Most likely, yes.
Yep. He's a halfling barbarian.
I'm just imagining Merrick being on the side of the crank where you have to pull it down. And Merrick keeps doing pull-ups.
I could see that happening, yeah.
So Merrick and Emil have to trade sides, so Merrick is the one lifting on the other side. Because you can brace your feet against the ground and not just do pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not happening yet, because you would only get one, sea elf out of four.
Ah, okay. Yeah, we're waiting for the rest to...
Yes. Speaking of, it is now one of the sea elves' turns. This one's going to swim over to the elevator. Next up is Isily.
Isily is... is there something I can climb down?
The elevator is on a rope, and Tex is on a rope, so there are two ropes going down.
You could also need to roll anything. No, I do not want the swan dive.
You're in
armor.
Do
I need to roll acrobatics?
On one hand, I want to say yes, but on the other, I did not make Tex roll, and I think it'd be unfair if I played favorites like that. So, no, I'm going to say that you can definitely grab onto a rope and slide down.
Okay, I'm going to grab onto a rope and slide down.
Which one? Texas rope or the elevator rope?
Texas.
Okay. Tex, the rope is now heavy by one cleric. You have company. I'm looking at the text. Never mind. All right, moving on. All right, next up is this third elf, and they are also going to swim over to the elevator because they have also done the math and do not think that Tex, however strong Tex is, would be able to carry two elves up because two arms. Tex, it is your turn.
Izzy, keep them safe. I'll be back down in a minute. I am strongly considering grabbing one of the elves and tossing them over my shoulder.
Well, there's one clinging to you, I think.
Yes, I mean an additional elf.
Oh.
This is going to be an athletics roll no matter what. You have enough movement
okay.
that you wouldn't get all the way to the top either way in one turn, but you do have enough movement that you could go over to the elevator, grab another elf, and then roll athletics at disadvantage. The problem would not so much be the additional weight. The problem would be the awkwardness of the situation.
That's fair. However, yeah, I'm not going to grab the additional elf. I will hope very hard that Merrick is right about the stability of the elevator. What I am going to do is this.
Oh.
And I will spend the thing if I can find it.
So, dear listeners, what this refers to is Peerless Athlete. As a bonus action, you can use your channel divinity to augment your athleticism. For the next 10 minutes, you have advantage on strength athletics and dexterity acrobatics checks. You can carry, push, drag, and lift twice as much as normal. And the distance of your long and high jumps increases by 10 feet. This extra distance costs movement as normal.
For the record, that brings Tex's carry weight to 300 before she's encumbered. 600, sorry.
You could very easily carry all of those rations that Papaki lost.
Yes.
And then some. You might even be able to carry one additional Tex. Okay, with a 21, I am going to say that I have no idea how high someone can climb.
Climbing costs 2 feet of movement for every...
So it's difficult terrain.
Foot, for every vertical foot.
So it's basically difficult terrain then.
Essentially, if it's difficult terrain, it's actually 2 extra feet instead of 1 extra foot. But yeah, so I can get almost all the way up the cliff.
Okay, so Tex has become a secondary elevator.
Yes.
It's the express pass elevator because it's going up faster than the regular elevator usually does. Although, to be fair, the regular elevator is usually powered by a couple zombies. They're not known for being expedient. All right. It is Emil's turn. Emil begins to use the elevator, which means an athletics check. That's an 8. The elevator is slightly above the waterline. Barely.
Okay. Okay.
It is time for 2 sea elves. They are going to alternate between panicking and panicking. The GIF game is strong in the chat. Yes, that kitten GIF is...
Fear me.
And you know, it's the tiniest of... I will not continue to just watch the GIF on loop. I have a very serious Dungeons & Dragons game to run where there's no shenaniganery. We shenaned yesterday. We will not shenan again. All right. It is the giant shark's turn. And do you know that if I'm on the features tab, I can't see the attributes to make wisdom saves?
Weird. No problem. Does it get to keep making a wisdom save on that?
The DM is saying that it does.
Oh, all right.
It makes it.
Boo.
I am going back and looking at your channel divinity to see what other details are there.
On a successful save, the creature's speed is halved for 1 minute or until the creature takes any damage. I still haven't found where my channel divinity widgets are on my sheet.
Okay. So if its movement is halved, that means it can only move 25 feet. 10, 15, 20, 25. Now, it looks like it has, on this map, a lot of options. However, 3 of the sea elves are just out of the water by a little bit. One of the sea elves and Tex are a significant distance out of the water, which would require the shark to do a high jump.
Which is something that sharks are known to do. But
of course.
True. Usually not when their movement is halved, though. Isili, however, was told to stay down here and keep the elves safe. Congratulations, Isili, you're tanking.
All right.
Okay.
But it's okay, because if you take damage, that does mean that Hobby can teleport to you.
True.
Does that mean it's my turn?
No, it means it's the shark's turn, because it's going to
Okay.
It's going to go
in for a bite. I was unsure of what was occurring.
Yes.
I'm not sure the shark should be getting its turn yet, Crash. Point of order. It hasn't been my turn again yet. I only just stopped it.
Yeah, now we're at the bottom of the initiative order, and it's about to be the top of the initiative order.
The DM is making decisions based on things the DM has put in place earlier.
Okay, that's fair. Hobby is very peeved about it, though.
Sometimes the DM's mean that a kobold sorceress gets additional platinum wings. Sometimes the DM's choices means a giant shark gets two saves against a paladin ability and goes in to bite a cleric. The DM taketh, and the DM giveth.
And the players tease.
The DM taketh the kobold sorceress out of the dragon's mouth, and the DM giveth an additional save to a giant shark. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. But also...
So, are biting?
There's going to be a bite.
How did you fall out of order?
Where's Isli?
Yes, Isli.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, that's
one way to get away from a shark.
Isli vanished. Isli cast invisibility on Foundry.
And also fell out of...
And also is not in combat.
Yeah.
Isli, where have you gone? We are putting you back here.
Oh, there we go.
That sounds promising.
I accidentally closed Discord. I don't know why I'm not in the initiative order.
I don't know why either. That was weird.
Did reappear on the map, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just drug Isli back onto the map.
Oh.
Do we remember vaguely where Isli, yes. I'm making up names now.
Isli was, I believe, between...
Under Merrick,
and I think under Wavebound.
Okay.
Isli got a 13.16.
Why did my name get changed back to Io's new healer?
What? Because I drugged the character over from the pool of characters again. And changes made to the token on the map don't always carry over to the prototype token. But from the looks of things, you are at full hit points right now. Correct?
Yep. I am at full hit points.
That is worth remembering for a reason. All right. So, that's a 15 to hit.
Nope.
Okay. Yes, because your armor class is 20. You have Mithril Half Plate, which brings your AC up to 15. Then you have a plus... hold on. I'll grant you the plus 2 to Dexterity, but I will say that if you are in the water... possibly holding on to a rope to make sure that the Mithril Half Plate doesn't drag you down 25 feet to the bottom, you are likely not using your shield.
We thought there was a ledge here.
No, that there specifically is not a ledge.
Then what were the elves clinging to?
They were treading water and trying to cling and or climb the side of the cliff. They were doing that part very poorly.
Oh.
Regardless... the 15 is not going to hit because you have Mithril Half Plate and a plus 2 to Dexterity. But I will say that your AC right now is functionally likely 17 because you're not using a shield. Or you are using a shield.
Why do I care about not being in the water?
Because you would most likely not be able to protect the sea elves that are right there at the edge of the water if you are 25 feet away from them at the bottom. You would be able to breathe just fine, but all the fighting would be up above you. Regardless, the shark does not manage to pierce anything vital, but instead om-nom-noms on the Mithril Half Plate without actually getting through. It is not an enjoyable experience for possibly anyone involved. Hobby
is just a teeny tiny bit peeved that the fish managed to continue going on. It's a bad fish.
It's a very large bad fish. And also, give me a perception check. This is...
Okay. Perception. Come on. Doesn't... There's my perception. Normal?
Normal.
Not a one.
No.
Nope.
Maybe?
No. I love that you have a plus 10 to that. I do love that you have a plus 10 to perception checks, but I'm not going to count that as an 11. So, yeah, what you're noticing is that there is currently a very large shark going om nom nom on your new friend, Isily. So with that said, now what do you do? I'm
going to roll a die. Okay, I'm going to call that a roll low for my amusement's sake. Hobby is going to make the absolute worst face. The shark is very close to the top of the water, right?
Yes, you can see the fin, the top part of the body, and the head is currently bobbing in and out of the water as it attempts to chew on Isily more.
One, two. Hobby would like to make a bit of a running jump off the cliff, aiming to land on the shark as her action.
You're going to jump 20 feet onto a shark, onto a giant shark.
Yes.
I'm not saying you can't do this. I'm saying this is glorious.
While using a bonus action to make a shadow blade.
Of course.
Ideally, if I pull this off, I want to sneak attack the shark from as death from above.
Is there any other way to do it?
That's from below.
You'd have to teleport into the water.
Exactly. So I'm just going to try and jump on the shark.
I am going to say, for this brilliant idea you have, I am going to not give you inspiration, for you already have it. I am going to let you keep your inspiration and roll an acrobatics check at advantage.
Okay. Will a 26 do it?
With a 26, I will say that your attack roll is definitely going to be done at advantage. Because the force of the blow is accentuated by the fact that you fell 20 feet onto the shark. It's okay that you fell 20 feet. The shark is breaking your fall.
Yes. So, I get to roll an attack?
Roll an attack at advantage.
And can I roll it? Okay, attack at advantage. Will a 15 hit?
A 15. I haven't used giant structure before, so I have to keep double checking. Yes, a 15 will hit.
Excellent.
You land so on the shark's smooth skin. As stated, sharks are smooth. Go ahead and roll your damage and your sneak attack damage.
Here's my sneak attack. Here's my regular damage for the blade.
All right. Let's see. I love that there's an apply button I can just press, so I don't have to do the math anymore.
Okay, come. All right, I'm in the shark's... I have to move out of the shark's bounding box here, so I can double-click myself.
Also, graphically, okay. It looked like you were in the shark's mouth instead of on top of the shark's head.
Yes, I know. Boo, hiss. Okay, sneak attack damage, you say?
Yes.
Sneak attack. Normal.
Okay.
That would be 13. And also, of course, you know what I'm going to do.
You're going to smite.
Where's my... Of course I'm going to smite. Where's my smite? Where's
my hold up.
There's my sneak attack.
When you do the smite, I want you to roll your damage as if you crit.
Okay, let me find my smite. There it is. It's under D for divine smite. So roll it as if it were a crit, you say?
Yes.
Okay, more details. How do I... there it is. It's not letting me do it as a thingy. All right, I'm going to change what... Today, in Fighting with Foundry...
You could just roll the dice.
But roll it as if you crit, or roll it to see if you crit.
No, roll, because Divine Smite, you've already hit. You're just adding damage. So
try that one rolling more time, double the Divine Smite not... dice.
Okay,
so it's just double Divine Smite. It's plus one. Yeah, I'm just going to use up one of my others. Oh, I probably thinks I've used three or four of the bloody things.
Just roll 48, and while you're figuring out what's happening with your spell slots, I'll figure out what's happening with how many hit points it has left.
22?
Okay. 22 points of damage. I can do that, Matt. As you death from above this thing to do well over 40 points of damage in technically one attack, you get the sense that as a paladin of righteous causes, your god really doesn't want this shark to keep doing what it's doing.
Bad shark is bad.
And possibly, actually, give me a religion check to see if I'm going to give you more information.
Okay, let me... I thought I still had myself selected to move myself, but apparently I did not. Okay, and we want religion.
Yes.
Oh, my religion is not great. Nope.
Okay, with a 7, I'm not giving you additional information.
I didn't think so.
I'm just going to put myself... And the shark over here.
All right, then.
And we're going to pretend you're on the shark's back. It's fine. It's all fine. We're all fine here. How are you? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, we're not at the end of initiative, but we've been playing for about an hour. What do you say we take a short break?
Good idea. I have to medicate a cat.
Oh, okay.
As one does. And we're back. And it is Merrick's turn. Now, Merrick, last turn, you said you were going over to help with the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you can certainly be helping Emil, because if we leave the elevator to Emil, we might end up lifting the shark and three sea elves in the shark's belly, but we might be lifting the shark. And also Hobby, who is currently riding the shark like a particular pilot with a cowboy hat in a movie about not worrying anymore, learning about not worrying and liking something or other. I don't know. It's fine. I believe it was a documentary. Anyway, and Ellie has found the exact scene. Anyway, so if you are going to be doing this, certainly, Merrick, you can. Well, you can definitely make the attempt. This is going to be an athletics check.
Okay.
So look in your character sheet for athletics.
Yep. And found it.
It's going to be normal.
Normal. Okay. Oh, that didn't work. Or did it? 23.
I saw two rolls.
I only clicked one.
I think you clicked advantage.
Did I?
You did.
Should I redo that?
Please redo that.
Okay, so and athletics is what we're looking for, yes? I will say
that's me being kind, because the one was the first roll.
Yeah, it was.
Wait, athletics would be at advantage for someone who's raging.
Right.
This is true.
So if he rages,
we can retroactively say that Merrick decided to get very angry at the winch.
Yeah.
Yes. Turn faster.
Very angry.
It's
I
also
can see that.
It's designed for somebody that is half again as tall as Merrick.
Mm-hmm.
So Merrick is not just raging because it's not moving very fast, but because it's ableist.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What
so
is
he's
this
gonna.
You have found Beth.
What did you find? Oh my goodness.
I have no idea what it's from, but I feel like somebody clinging to the shark's fin and
chewing on chewing. The shark while the shark looks to be afraid and trying to swim away in a panic with a sea of blood behind it.
Yep.
That's a thing. This is apparently a thing that somebody has made.
Yes.
And okay, also, Ellie is pointing out it's quite possible that Merrick is raging against the machine here.
Yes.
The specific machine, not it. Tex. Tex is a different machine.
Right. Can't reach.
So we're
going to
say with the 23, suddenly the three CLs all like reach and grab for things to hold on to because the elevator starts moving up much faster.
Okay.
It's the difference between getting in an elevator where somebody pressed all of the buttons and getting in an elevator where somebody pressed the top floor.
Uh-huh.
Express.
It's like, get them up.
Yes.
Bring them up here. Okay. I guess that's all.
Next up is going to be one of the CLs. They're going to hold on for dear life. And I'm going to be kind and say that's acrobatics. That's a nat 20.
Holding on for dear life, and maybe holding on to one of the others as well.
Yes, I'm going to say that I'm going to have that carry over so that as they're holding on for dear life, the other two are going to get to roll at advantage, or at least the next one. Next up is Io's new healer.
Why is it still doing that? I changed it.
I don't know.
Probably because that's how it was in the Italy. It's probably because that's how it was when we rolled to put that one back in. So it hasn't updated.
It's possible. Can I update combatant? Yes, I can. There we go. Anyway, you are currently face to face with a giant shark that has a tabaxi writing on it.
If I have to use both my hands to hold the rope, I don't think there's anything I can do.
You can hold the rope with one hand. It's only the shield that I said you couldn't be using because I assumed that you were using the sword. You could say that you're just...
Oh, no, it's a sling.
Oh, no, definitely I would not be using the sword if I have one hand free.
Okay, so you have a hand free. I will say that you only need one hand to cast spells if you choose to cast spells. Or you could stab with a sword, okay. Or you could grab your shield. You have a plethora of options. You just can't be using both at the same time. Or two at the same time. You know what I mean, I think.
So I can cast spells, but not if I'm holding my weapon or my shield.
Correct.
Okay.
Unless you let go of the rope, and then you could do both. But then you'd be
going down.
Yeah, you would descend into the depths, which might take the shark with you. But might also take the tabaxi with the shark.
The tabaxi has the water breathing hat on.
You're only half soaked right now.
Yeah, well, the shark deserves it. She's going to take this out on the shark. She made her will roll.
Imagine this GIF.
How many elves are still near me?
It looks like unless something goes horribly wrong, all four elves are on their way to safety. If not occupied, the shark might be able to make a jump for one or more of them.
I would like to cast Beacon of Hope.
Okay. What does Beacon of Hope do?
And I will have to cast it at fourth level because I have used all of my third level slots casting tongues earlier.
This spell bestows hope and vitality. Choose any number of creatures within range. For the duration, each target has advantage on wisdom saving throws. The shark now has advantage on not being afraid.
No, I don't think that... I hope you're not helping the shark.
I am not helping the shark. I am...
Issily is not helping the shark. Somebody is, but it's not Issily. And
I am attempting to help my party members.
All right.
And also the sea elves. And let's see. And I don't have any useful bonus actions right now.
Okay. Next up is another one of the elves. We're going to roll that with advantage because someone else crit. They do not fall. Wonderful. Next up is Tex. Tex, I'm assuming you are going to continue your climb.
Yes.
If you make this roll by 15 more, I'm going to say you make it all the way to the top.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, hold on. We had already worked out the distance that you needed. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
She was already mostly there.
I'm 5 feet from the top.
Yeah, so I'm going to say 10 or more. How much is your bonus?
Plus 9, and I have advantage. How's a 20 do?
To be fair, there was a chance that you could have failed if you rolled 2 ones.
Yes.
Yes, you very easily get to the top and get this particular sea elf to be on dry land, and possibly for the first time in their life, they are happy to be out of the water. They kiss the ground, but it's salty.
And grubby.
Yeah.
Is the elevator rope-driven, or is it a bizarre cog-driven mechanism?
It is a block-and-tackle system.
Gotcha.
With a primitive-looking winch for pulling up the rope.
Okay. Reel in the rope. I will handle the rest.
Who's this being said to?
American Emil.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, with Merrick's going to move out of the way.
I'm assuming you just grab onto the rope and pull.
And start hauling, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Again, the amount that I can lift, carry, and drag is double.
You are peerless.
Mm-hmm. So as long as American Emil can keep cranking in that rope, which now no longer has much weight on it, to maintain the tension.
If this was a setting where you had a vehicle that wasn't running properly and you got out and pushed, that would actually work as a propulsion method.
This is such an anime scene.
Mm-hmm. You know the old Soviet joke. What's the purpose of the rear defroster on the on a Yugo? To warm the hands of the man pushing it.
So, fun fact, there is, I think it's a Russian car. It's either Russian or East German, which might be the same thing, considering the era, that because of metal shortages, they made the body of the vehicle out of cloth.
Oof. Wow.
They compressed it and laminated it.
That can get pretty sturdy-ish.
It actually doesn't look too bad. Now, if you break it, there's no way you're patching it.
Right.
But there's a YouTube channel where the guy who runs it, one of his hobbies that now has become the way he earns money, is collecting and fixing up various types of cars. And he bought one because it was incredibly unusual. Does it run well? No. Is it fuel efficient? No. Is there anything that isn't just pure utilitarian about it? To call it utilitarian would be to do a disservice to the word utilitarian. But it's neat. Anyway, I'm going to say with the 26 techs, it was not quite high enough a roll to launch the three remaining sea elves as if from a trebuchet.
Oh, no.
It was not quite high enough to do that. But it was high enough that the elevator comes up to the surface and actually hits the side of the cliff face so that it sort of like leans in a bit and dumps the three elves onto the ground in front of the elevator.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So those three sea elves are prone.
Give them some more space. They're prone?
Well, they fell off the elevator onto the ground.
Okay. So they're onto the ground up here with us?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, fell out, okay.
They are safe for now unless the cliff face collapses. But the GM wouldn't do that.
Nah.
The GM, I assure you, GM would not do that. But we're playing Dungeons & Dragons, so there is no GM. I'm the GM.
Okay.
Can I make one more roll before the end of my turn?
What would you like to do?
I would like to scan the waters.
The DM paused for a moment because there is a cipher system game that you run where somebody has an ability called scan.
And yes, like, that's not what I'm doing. I am also not dropping a giant flatbed scanner on top of the ocean.
No, you have to hold it above the ocean, upside down. Otherwise, it gets waterlogged. Salt water is known for being really good for electronics. Yes, if you want them to not work anymore. So, yes.
I would like to make a perception roll.
Yes, please make the perception roll. With the 15, well, there is a giant shark that is currently dealing or being dealt with by, depending on how you want to parse sentences, two of your companions.
Meow, row, 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 meow.
One of them will probably be complaining that they're wet later. You don't see anything else out there with the 15, but you have the nagging sensation that there's something else beyond this little cove, if you will, that is much larger and possibly getting closer. Is there anything visual that you can point to and say, ah, yes, that's the sign of it? No, it's a hunch.
Yes, it's a hunch. And I will communicate this to anyone who can hear me.
Okay.
All right. Next up is Emil. Is there anything Emil can do that does not involve jumping into the water?
Track
people. Reel up the rest of the rope.
Mm-hmm.
That is the instruction that you gave. Emil is perhaps not the best at following instructions.
Oh, no. Okay.
Emil, you should probably be dragging people to safety. Well, they can... Oh, well.
Instead, Emil is going to use a crossbow.
Just don't hit me.
Well, a 21 hits.
Whoa.
Let's roll damage. And unfortunately, I don't believe you can smite at a distance.
I do believe it does say it has to be a melee attack, doesn't it?
I'm almost certain it has to be a melee attack with a weapon.
Yep. Melee weapon attack.
So you cannot be a Munkadin using Fury of Blows and smiting with your fists.
I think there really ought to be an option.
Those are weapon attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not attacks with a weapon, but they're weapon attacks. Because D&D is like that.
So you could be a Munkadin.
Unarmed attack and weapon attack are not separate.
You know what? I'm glad that we're making the shift from D&D to Cypher System and GURPS, because we're going to replace one set of confusing rules with two other sets of confusing rules.
With another.
Rules.
Yes.
GURPS isn't confusing. I know what's going on.
How many decades have you been playing GURPS? Because I can count how long I've been playing GURPS in months. And I will tell you.
Well, yes.
I'm not there.
Everything's confusing the first few
months. In fairness, though, it's about to be 12 months.
That's right.
True. And by the time this recording goes live, it'll have been even longer. Unless you're a Patreon patron, then you have heard it earlier. But never mind about that. Anyway, Emil has had his...
And now you're older still.
Ah, yes. Well, that might be a giant shark.
Two seals get to go next, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
And two of them, this one is going to move further away from the water. And this one is going to move further away from the water. Because what if the shark could jump 20 feet? You don't know.
True. Mm-hmm.
All right. Giant shark's turn. It is currently being ridden like a bull at a rodeo by a Rogadin.
With claws.
And it can't do anything about that. So it's going to try to bite Isilee again. Because it can try to do something about that. But with a 13, it doesn't do anything about that. Hobby.
Hobby has already pointed at this sucker and told it it's going down. So I get advantage on the attacks.
Mm-hmm.
As I recall.
Yes.
And therefore, I would like to attack it again with my Shadow Blade. And that's an advantage. Will a 23 hit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scroll up to normal. That's a mere 9, but it's a sneak attack, so I get hit my sneak attack damage.
That is correct.
I get to roll my sneak attack. Okay. Sneaky. There's 13.
Okay, it's blood.
And now I want my... Ooh, nice. But now I want to do my smite.
You can definitely do a smite, and this is crit again.
Okay, so that means 2d plus, I'm just using first one, so
48, yes. Not 48, 4d8.
A mere 16.
I mean, it's something.
And that's my action, so... Unless there are any cool bonus actions that I've got currently.
As a bonus action, you can take a map of water.
Clear the path.
Hmm?
Clear the path.
What does that mean? But yes, I should probably do the command word for the bubble of air.
I think I know what that meant. Tex, are you deciding you're going to go down and help?
Yes. Tex is deciding she's going to go down and help.
Hobby.
And then,
get out of the way.
Can I speak the command word as a free action because it's speaking?
Not if it has a special effect.
Curses. She's just going to have to hold her breath a little bit longer while scurrying with her claws.
I was thinking jump to the rope.
No. She's going to scurry with her claws down to the other end of a bit lower down on the shark. Around the fin to provide the top part as a landing place. She's going to find out if a shark has kidneys.
Merrick?
I think Merrick is going to try to help the other two elves out of the elevator.
All the elves are out of the elevator and on dry land.
Okay. It just looked like they were still in the elevator. Yeah, so that's all.
The way I drew it, that line is going... Mm-hmm. Through squares on the map, they are on the side of the line that has them on dry land.
Okay, so they're safe. Yes. Okay. Other than that, let's see what else he can do. Let's see.
I mean, Merrick can jump down.
Yeah.
And you are still, you are technically raging, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Redo it if you want.
I kind of expect Merrick to jump down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Merrick's going to jump down and
okay.
aim for the shark, basically.
Give me an acrobatics check.
Okay, one acrobatics check. Is there an ability modifier or no? Just normal?
You have a +2 to equip from your dex.
And okay. Isley cast a
Yeah, so you can also add a d4 to your roll on top of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how to do that.
We'll worry about that next. Right now, just do a normal acrobatics check.
Okay. It's a 2. No, it's a 4.
It's a 4 with your bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Adding a d4 to that is not going to help.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to say that you successfully jump into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the fact that it looks like you're on the elevator. You are underneath the elevator. Right. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Okay.
And I moved the shark out of the way so you can actually still click on your character.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You successfully jump into the water. And I don't believe you're wearing any armor, so you can be swimming. You just didn't manage to do a death from above attack.
Yeah, I kind of missed. Okay.
Yes. So.
Splash.
Yeah.
But that was your movement. You may make an attack.
Okay. Can I scoot over to the shark and hit it with this axe?
You are adjacent to the shark. You can go ahead and smack at it right where you are.
Okay. So let's see if I can move him.
No. Then, please don't move your character there because it will make it very hard for you to click on your character because
The shark has a big bounding box.
The shark has a bounding box that would overlap your character and you'd end up not being able to click on it. Hobby had the same problem. So don't worry about moving your character. Your character is next to the shark.
Okay.
Just go ahead and make an attack.
An attack. Okay. Same as before?
This will be your first attack of the session.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. So you're going to go to your inventory, find your great axe +2. And when you move your cursor over the great axe, a d20 icon appears. Click on the d20 icon.
Okay. And we're doing attack? Normal. Okay. Where is normal?
You won't see normal until
thing.
You click attack in the chat.
Okay. There we are. Normal.
A 19 is going to hit. Go ahead and click the damage button in the chat.
Damage button in the chat.
It's above your most recent roll.
There it is. Okay.
All right. Nice. I will apply that damage.
Yeah.
A 10.
Awesome.
Okay. And at your level.
So you have a little halfling fighting a shark.
Yes. I'm fairly certain that you get a second attack. Am I remembering that correctly?
I don't know. Let me look.
Extra attack.
Yes. Ooh.
So go ahead.
So I can do it again.
Yes, that same attack button that's now further up in the chat bar because you've done other things.
Okay.
Go ahead and click that same attack button again.
Okay. That didn't work so well.
14 is going to hit.
All right.
So go ahead and click the damage button again.
Okay. I'm going to scroll up to it. Damage. Yeah,
now we're to the point where we have to scroll up to find the buttons. And
yeah, 15.
A much lower to hit roll, but a much higher damage roll.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is another one of the elves. They move out of the way. Next up is Isily.
Is your microphone
working? Is anyone hurt?
Not yet. Yeah, not yet.
The shark.
The shark is hurt. Yeah.
The shark would like some healing.
Beat on it like 4 times.
Well,
and if you could do something
I don't really like doing this, but the shark needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
I've already explained sharks are very wise. We had a Venn diagram and everything.
I don't know why versatile is. Oh yeah, that makes sense because there's a secondary option for the damage.
Why are you giving me this thing twice, system? It wasn't a problem with Foundry. It was a problem with the GM clicking the wrong button.
Oops. Okay.
It's fine. It got a nat 20.
Oh, no. Aww.
And with its modifier, that's an 18.
Don't we wish?
Mm-hmm.
We do hear the bell go off, though. And see, Toll the Dead is a cantrip, so it's supposed to fizzle.
I'm not sure we've... I'm not sure we've seen Toll the Dead since... Did Zuda have it?
Let me check what lists it's on. Because I feel... Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that Bryn had it.
I think I remember that, yes.
If Bryn had it. But...
Yeah, Bryn, and I'm pretty sure Zuda had it too.
Isily, give
I'm wondering if Daldane did.
Check.
Daldane had it. I'm almost certain. I swear I've seen that one before on a few people when I was not playing.
Isily, please give me a religion check.
I can add a d4 because of
You the may definitely training. Add a d4 because of that ability, yes. Everyone checked under their seat and found a d4, including you. You're the one who put it there.
I put it there.
Yes. With a 20 freaking 1.
Wow.
Not a crit, but still. There's a few things that you are aware of. One of them is this shark should not have been able to try to resist Toll the Dead as much as it did. It's getting infused with some type of power. Not from within itself, from elsewhere, from another source. And the disturbing thing is not from a source from a celestial or demonic or abyssal plane of reality. No, the source is out there in the water. But also, you are able to figure this out in part because you know a few things about being infused with the power of a deity. And a decision has been made to help you out. So even though the shark resists this bell that resonates throughout this area here. Actually, it's resonating a bit more than Toll the Dead is usually supposed to do. It usually doesn't ring for that long. Somebody took the world's largest tuning fork and hit it against something. Bits of the cliff walls start to break free and splash down around you and roll your damage anyway.
It's the 1d12.
18.
The shark had 12 hit points left. How do you want to do this?
There's... that long ringing sound, and it sort of slowly dies off into something lulling, and the shark stills and begins to sink without any apparent pain.
Aww.
This moment is somewhat spoiled by Hobby's realization that she is currently riding a sinking shark.
I told you to get on the rope.
And yet, there is going to be the realization, and then Hobby sort of goes scrapple scrabble, flail flail in the water, and yelp, I'm wet!
That's a 16 athletics check for Tex. Are you jumping down to save the cat?
No.
She would sink.
Are you tossing a rope to the cat?
I am anticipating that since the cliff edges have started to crumble, Nerelle is going to have a hard time holding on during her turn next.
Yes, next turn.
And so I am in advance using my reaction to help out.
Okay. The cliff faces seem to not be shaking anymore. That seems to have been an effect from an overcharged Toll the Dead. With that said, those of you who are not distracted by a flailing cat in the water saying this cannot continue. Only flailing a lot more than the orange cat in that gif.
If Nerelle is not scrambling to get onto, if the cliff isn't collapsing beneath Nerelle like you've heavily foreshadowed that it would.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will toss a rope to Hobby.
Okay. The foreshadowing was providing an opportunity for, like, if it hadn't been lethal damage, I would have said that the shark was taking damage from bits of cliff face hitting it. With it being lethal damage, Isily got to decide how the shark died. So, those of you not distracted by the sinking tabaxi, whether because sinking tabaxi or because saving sinking tabaxi.
Mm-hmm.
Very briefly, through that gap on the far side of this cove, there is a fin. It is incredibly large. This giant shark that you were facing is a pup compared to what goes past your field of view. And that's where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tonight, I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. Is there anything that we want to point people to saying, hey, there's this cool stuff?
Io's mom writes books at ElizabethMcCoy.com, and they're not very expensive, and some of them are even cheap. Library, so they're even. Have your library get one. And speaking of books,
cutting out quite a lot.
Oh,
it was.
You were?
Crash, you say it. You won't cut out.
Crash. Elizabeth McCoy.
For what it's worth it.
Get lots of books from there. They are ebooks. Or use the Libby app from your local library and get lots of books from there.
But you have to ask the library to buy my books.
Yes,
they may not have them already.
Yes. Although, I will say that they are inexpensive enough that I imagine many libraries have already made that purchase because it's not that.
No, they won't unless you ask them because I'm independent and they don't know I exist.
I didn't need to ask. That's all I'm saying.
Well, someone probably else asked.
Maybe.
Someone asked. You could check first.
Or maybe the librarian just had good taste. But speaking of books.
Oh, I can help.
What was that last bit?
Speaking of books.
Oh, okay. So my website is bookofjen.net. It's got a bunch of stuff on it. I keep trying to find time to put more. That's it. Bookofjen.net. And there are book reviews up at the top that I have a bunch I can add to pretty soon. So that'll happen. Also, I am the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which generally comes out every Saturday. I haven't put one together yet, but it is still Saturday, so it will work. And you can find that at shatteredsoulstone.com.
And speaking of websites, we take all of these podcasts, actually also speaking of podcasts, because you also just talked about the Shattered Soulstone podcast. Well, we have podcasts on a website. Weird that. I mean, we don't have to go to Spotify to get to them? That's
no.
Actually a thing that I don't recommend people do, but never mind about that. But I do recommend our podcasts, which are all, for the most part, actual play sessions for, right now, two D&D campaigns, a GURPS campaign, and a Cypher system in a pear tree. We're not sure how it got in the pear tree. We don't know who brought the pear tree, but never mind about that. You can get all those at aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. You can also follow us on the Fediverse at is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. And you can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you join other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shenshen, Walter, Liv Droman, and patron emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash, realizing that because he was the DM this time, he has to have something to say at the end.
Oops.
Ah, yes. There's always a bigger fish. Good night, everybody.